Hello, Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. We're going to continue to talk about consumer protection and privacy protection. Janet Jenkins heads up the Office of Privacy Protection and is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in Wisconsin's Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection. And her office address, www.privacy.wi.gov. And it's a real pleasure to have you here, Janet. Thanks.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What advice do you have during this tax-keeping season to keep those records safe from ID thieves?
Well, the first thing to do is to be certain that if you mail in tax returns, that you mail them not by putting them in your mailbox and putting up the flag, but by actually depositing them in a U.S. mailbox so that identity thieves can't get it out from your mailbox. The other thing I think is important to do is if you have your taxes prepared, ask what your tax preparer does with your information. Some tax preparers sell, give, or otherwise share your information with others. And that's something you need to be leery of because you don't have any control over that. And you don't know even if you think that the people they share it with are okay, you don't know who that group shares it with, mm-hmm. et cetera. So you want to be very careful about that. Also, while you need to keep your tax returns, obviously, you should be sure they're in a safe place in your house. If you have a little lock box or something like that, or want to put them in a safety deposit box, those are all good ideas to make sure. And what you don't need, shred.
Right. How long do you have to keep these records?
I think it's 6 years for the Internal Revenue Service and maybe 4 for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Those might not be quite right, but they're pretty close because they have certain amount of time to go back and audit your returns. So definitely you want to keep your returns as well as all the supporting documentation for those periods of time.
Mm-hmm. And I think I saw that you're recommending a lock. Fireproof box if you're keeping these records at home.
Yes, that would be a good place, and make sure that you don't leave the key in the lock on the box, although that's convenient. It defeats the purpose of it.
All right, Janet Jenkins is our guest, and if you'd like to join the conversation for consumer protection, privacy protection issues, or anything else that's under her purview, then you can call us in Madison at 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. For people who are going on spring break, and there's a lot of them that are headed out of Wisconsin, how can they protect themselves from identity thieves who are preying on travelers?
The most important thing is to leave whatever you can at home. You know, if you have multiple credit cards, like a store credit card plus a Visa or MasterCard, if you know you're not going to be shopping at the store that for which you have the credit card, leave that at home. You should never carry your Social Security card, but if you do, be sure to leave that at home. So that's the best thing, is empty your wallet so as little information about you can be found if you happen to be a theft victim. The second thing that we recommend is to just be cautious. Identity thieves are quite sophisticated, and often they belong to organized crime units. And so they know who to prey on, students or others on spring break are an ideal group, since most of the time they're having a good time and mm-hmm. not particularly paying attention to what's going on. If you do carry the information and the place you're staying, the hotel, has a safe, be sure to use it. And don't take out your information from the safe unless you really need to do that. Otherwise, keep your eyes open. Don't use internet cafes if you don't have to, but if you do, be sure you aren't doing things like your online banking
right.
from the internet cafe, because a lot of the computers will have key loggers, which record all your keystrokes, and an identity thief can take it. And to the extent you can, use your credit card or traveler's checks, because if your credit card is stolen and used, there's typically, well, at most, a $50 liability limit, and many companies have zero liability. Whereas if you use your debit card, there is no such protection, and someone could get into your entire bank account by using that. So those are some of the basic tips.
Janet Jenkins is our guest. We have a line open if you have a question or a comment for her. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, toll-free, 800-642-1234. Let's take some calls. Bob is first up in Stevens Point. Hello, Bob.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, I have a question on TurboTax versus H&R Block tax software. I'm wondering if you have a feeling for the accuracy or, of these two programs.
That's really not within my purview. I'm not a tax expert, and I know people who use both, and both seem to be happy with it. But I really couldn't answer that question with any amount of knowledge at all. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, I've read some articles that said, when they run, dummy situations through these programs, one or the other might miss some things. So,
yeah, I would go to Consumer Reports. They probably have done an analysis of the two at some point here leading up to tax time.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Bob, thanks very much. Appreciate your call. And let's go on to Kimberly in Lake Mills. Hi, Kimberly.
Good morning. I want to know if it's legal for my employer to post my birth date on the Happy Birthday board. I've studied the HIPAA laws, and you're not able to give that information out, but it seems like my employer, they don't give the year, but they still give the month and date.
Well, the HIPAA laws apply only to certain medical providers and medical insurance companies and things related to medical care. So
we better define what this HIPAA law is.
The HIPAA law, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but
health
it's...
Health insurance portability and...
Oh, right. Health insurance
right.
portability.
But it doesn't apply to everyone. It only really applies to those involved with medical care. And so unless your employer is in that field, HIPAA wouldn't apply, and there is no state law or other federal law which prohibits posting your birth date on the birthday board. But you certainly might want to suggest to your employer that they discontinue doing that, particularly the entire birth date, because oftentimes identity thieves get one piece of information about you from someplace, another piece from a different place, and pretty soon they have enough to, to make you a victim of identity theft. So to the extent that any of that type of information can be stopped, it's valuable and important to try and stop it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you made your employer aware of your concern?
Yes.
And they...
So my birth date was not published, and I don't know if they've stopped doing it.
Okay. But at then, least for you, they didn't post it.
Right. But they did, someone, one of my coworkers' wives called and asked for my phone number, and they gave it to her.
Mm-hmm. That's a little
so
shaky.
Yes, it is.
A lot of employers aren't really... very identity theft savvy, shall we say, and they need education. And, because we live in a different world than we lived in 10 years ago, where we didn't really worry much about identity thieves because although they existed, they didn't exist in the numbers that they do now. But the world has changed, and we need to educate ourselves as well as the people we work for, the people we do business with, that there are real threats out there, and identity theft is a big one, and that they have to change the way they handle personal information.
I agree with you that any help that a thief can get in getting parts of the puzzle is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly, thanks very much for alerting us to that. Appreciate hearing from you. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, toll-free at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Janet Jenkins. She heads the Office of Privacy Protection, which has been in existence now for about a year or so.
About a year.
And business growing every day, unfortunately.
It is. It is. Last year, in the 8 months of our existence, we received about a little over 300 written complaints of identity theft. If the trend continues for the rest of this year, as it has in the first 3 months, we'll receive well over 1,000 complaints. So, yeah, it's growing.
It's growing. Let's go next to Edith in Madison. Hello, Edith. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Well, this subject is something that's very close to me. Ms. Jenkins, I was one of those 300 that did file a complaint because an attempt was made to steal my identity about a year ago, a little more than that, through the ruse of a collection agency in Georgia. And I am also very concerned that there has not been pressure placed on Congress to change the use of our Social Security numbers as being the identifiers on all kinds of transactions. It just appears all over the place. And also the fact that our government, I fear, is probably the very weakest link in our protection because of the fact of their amassing all the kinds of data on us that they can, and there are thousands and thousands of very low-paid workers who have access to all this information, and if they happen to be on drugs or are pressured by some...
Edith, I'm sorry, but I do have to break in because we're going to have to pause for the latest news. I'll have Janet respond to the need to eliminate Social Security numbers as an identifier right after we look at the latest news. I'm Jim Packard, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 noon. I'm Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us. We will continue talking about consumer protection and privacy protection issues with Janet Jenkins after the latest news from NPR. Among the topics that I expect we'll get to, door-to-door magazine sales companies are back in the state. Public hearings were held last month on some proposed rules relating to price gouging. And the biggest source of gripes received in 2006 by consumer protection, telemarketers calling people on the no-call list. What happens to those violators? We'll find out as we continue talking to Janet Jenkins. The number in Madison for you to get aboard is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. It's 12 noon. The news is next. And good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller today on the Ideas Network. Glad to have you with us. We're talking about consumer protection and privacy protection with Janet Jenkins, who heads up the Office of Privacy Protection and is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Janet, again, thank you very much for coming by and spending time with us today.
Happy to do it.
Just before the news, Edith called from Madison, and she was concerned about the use of Social Security numbers as identifiers on various government documents. Your thoughts on what she would like to have Congress do?
Edith, I share your concern. When the Social Security laws were initially passed, the number was never intended to be a universal identifier, but it has become one. And since it's such an important number and provides the key to so many things, it is very important to keep that Social Security number limited. And at least in Wisconsin, we're taking a serious look at using other identifiers other than Social Security numbers. In my opinion, Congress has not done a great deal about that issue or about privacy protection in general. There are some, there is some legislation before Congress now that involves a notification in case of a data breach, but you know, Congress is well behind the states in addressing privacy protection.
And as far as the state goes, I think Melody in Sun Prairie has something about that. Hi, Melody.
Hello.
What is it about Social Security numbers that vexes you today?
It vexes me. I would like to get a fishing license, and I went to the store, and they told me I had to provide my Social Security number, and I don't know why I didn't get it after all, but it seems fishy.
I don't know. If there is a specific statute that regards Social Security numbers on hunting or fishing licenses, there might be, in which case the law would have to be changed. What I would suggest you do, if you're interested in finding out, is to contact the Department of Natural Resources, who administers the laws and rules regarding a grant of those licenses, and see if it is absolutely necessary, or can you perhaps simply put the last four digits of your Social Security number on the application.
All right.
All right, Melody. Thanks very much. We appreciate hearing from you. And someone else had called, I think, during the news to wonder how you get your Social Security number off your health insurance card. That sort of deals with what Congress has to do in that case. I know it's a catch-22. You're supposed to carry the card if you're over 65. And yet, if you carry the card, then you're in danger of being a victim of identity theft.
That's right. And what we really need to do is establish new nationwide standards for personal identifiers. And we don't, because we don't have them. And I had also agreed with Edith that government is often the largest repository of personal identifying information. So it's a huge problem, and it's going to take a significant effort to resolve it. But we have to start.
All right. Marion is next in Madison. Marion, what can we do for you today?
Well, my complaint has to deal with what local citizens could do about this problem. I'm definitely against these various neighborhood directories, church directories, all of the things that expose people's names, address, occupation, number of children and their ages. All kinds of information is floating around out there, and it gives easy access to petty criminals, if not grand theft.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see why this has gone on and on. I refuse to let my name be listed in my neighborhood directory. But I think banishing the directories in general would be a good idea. True, they're supposed to promote fellowship and good neighborliness and all that. But I think the adverse results are not worth it. I'm just going through something right now about a break-in. And I do not want anything about my habits of life or employment or anything else to be out there for the world to read.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Okay, Janet?
I agree. I don't know if it's possible to banish these directories entirely from a legal standpoint. Some limitations may be possible, but it would seem that as more and more people feel like you do, who aren't going to participate, pretty soon they're not going to be published anymore because they don't have anybody in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as consumers, we need to take the lead. That's unfortunate, but we do in the area of identity theft. And, you know, if enough of us stand up and say, I don't want this or I don't want that because I'm concerned, that too will result in changes.
For somebody who has a specific complaint that they would like to address to Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, what is the way to go around that, the email and the telephone number for filing a complaint?
Well, we have a toll-free number, which is 800-422-7128. And We have regional offices in Milwaukee and Green Bay, and in Milwaukee the number is, you can call the toll-free number, but also 414-266-1231 if you're within that area code, and in Green Bay it's 920-448-5110. Our email address is DATCP hotline, all one word, at datcp.state.wi.us.
All right. We'll post that on Larry Mueller's page so that you will be able to refer to it from there. And let's go next to Christy in Lake Mills. Christy, what can we do for you?
Well, I would just like to say that I'm glad this is coming into the public awareness. This happened to me 10 years ago. And at that time, my family and friends all thought I was crazy or something was going on weird with me because I said somebody is in my credit. An apartment had been rented in my name in Sun Prairie. I owned a house, so I didn't need a second apartment. I was accused of all sorts of craziness because I kept saying something is going on here, something's wrong. I knew that people had been breaking into my building, and so I'm really happy that people are waking up to this. What I had to go through all sorts of legal bills and to get my name freed up from all of this stuff. These and people took out probably 100 different applications on credit cards on my name, and I went to the credit union when there was one in Madison, which I wish there still was, that you didn't have to go online and go through all this stuff. And I went to there, and I found out some leads on that. I got the whole thing cleaned up, and I have a hawk alert on my credit rating now, which people can get, and that means nobody can go into your credit rating without your approval.
You're right in several regards. One, Wisconsin in 2006 went into effect on January 1 of 2007, passed what I refer to as the credit freeze law. That enables anyone in Wisconsin to place a freeze on their credit report. What that means is that for extension of new credit, where somebody's trying to check out your creditworthiness, they won't be able to do that unless you unfreeze your report for that purpose. It does not prevent your current creditors from checking your credit report, but it does prevent new people, which are more likely to be identity thieves. So that is a help. I understand the problems in trying to, what I call, reclaim your identity after it's been stolen. And there are many hurdles or hoops to jump through. Hopefully, they've become easier as the problem has become more prominent. And one place you can check for how to go about that, if you have been the victim of an identity theft, is to look at the Office of Privacy Protection's website or call us for a fact sheet. And the office's private our website is privacy.wi.gov.
Oh, that's good to know. I haven't had a credit card for 10 years. And the other thing I'd like to mention to people, it's not always somebody you don't know. The people who stole my identity were my friends and relatives.
You see that, I'm sure.
That is very frequent and actually more common than someone you don't know stealing your identity. It happens a lot. So, you know, people really shouldn't be sharing their information with anybody unless they really, truly trust them. And even then, only to the extent necessary, because spouses have done it. Parents have done it with their children.
Children have done it with their parents.
Exactly. So, but it is a big problem in families, in some families anyway.
Christy, thank you so much, and we appreciate your call, and I'm happy that you were able to get your name back.
Thank you.
Christy in Lake Mills, and let's go next to Diane in Rice Lake. Diane, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question about how to safely use bank cards. You I have.
When you say a bank card, well, now, are you talking about a debit card?
I'm talking a check card, yes.
A check card, a debit card. Okay.
I know that I use mine all the time locally and just recently used it a couple of times on a trip, and it just sort of stopped me. I thought, should I be doing this? And your guest mentioned, no, I probably shouldn't. So I'm wanting to know how to use that safely or what she would suggest as safeguards for using your card.
Well, my first suggestion would be not to use it unless you really have to. Use a credit card and then, you know, just pay off your credit card bill when it comes, because there is that protection on your credit card. The other thing you need to look for is when you go to actually to an ATM machine. There are devices out there that actually identity thieves put on ATM machines that capture your information, and after a couple hours or a couple of days, the thieves come back and take out what's called a skimmer, and they have all of your information. So when you're using an ATM, look at it closely. If there appears to be anything where you slide in your card that is screwed on or otherwise bolted on from the outside, I would suggest not using it. Most ATM machines that haven't been tampered with have the card reader that's built in. So if you look for something that looks like it's been might have been added on the outside afterwards, I'd be very wary of using it.
Could I ask just to clarify?
What, yes, go ahead.
So you're saying basically you would advise against using them at all?
I would, unless there's really a need for it. I mean, I used to use mine all the time too, but when I learned, you know, when it became apparent how much of a problem identity theft is, and getting my debit card meant they could get into my bank account and drain it of everything, and there was nothing the bank was going to do about it, because, you know, it's not their responsibility. I just decided I'm using my credit card or cash, and then I'll just pay the bill, because if somebody steals my credit card number and uses it again, there's either there's a maximum of a $50 liability to me, no matter how much they use my credit card for.
And with a debit card, there is no liability protection.
No, with many debit cards, there is not. Now, with some, you know, that are issued by Visa or something else, they may have the same protection. But I would check with the credit card issuer to determine if there's that protection, because the one I have, for example, does not, because it's just one issued by my local bank.
Well, thank you. This is very enlightening.
All right, Diane. Thank you very much for your call. Our guest is Janet Jenkins. She's the heads up the Office of Privacy Protection and administrates the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection for the state of Wisconsin. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, we're toll-free at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Mary in Wauwatosa next. Hello, Mary.
Hi there. I've enjoyed this immensely. I am a victim of identity theft, and my report will be coming up your way. I just wanted to make a comment that if you receive notice that your data was taken as part of a large group, in my case, it was a theft out of the VA in Washington, and then there's an announcement, everything's pulled back. You can't count on that as being verified, because I actually had data stolen, and then because the kids were on my data, I had two of my four kids had things taken. So it's very good if you even hear something that you have in, like one of the many banks or so forth, to start checking your stuff right away or make changes. I'll tell you, it took days. I spent a month having to change things. I would like the perpetrator to have to do what I went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does take time and money, and that's why, and it's also a crime that can be ongoing, and it can go on forever. Unlike many crimes like burglary, your house is burgled, it's done, it's over with. That's bad enough. But credit or identity theft can be a continuing crime, because what thieves will often do is use your information, your credit card number, for example, maybe for a day or a couple of weeks, and then they'll sell it to someone else, or, you know, put it on the internet and somebody from overseas will get it. And so it can go on and on and on and on. So you're very right about that. And, you know, if you are the victim of a data breach, I would suggest you put a freeze on your report. The federal law allows people to put a fraud alert on their report, but that only lasts for 90 days. And since identity theft can happen long after 90 days, you could start with a fraud alert because it's easier and quicker to do, and then follow up with a credit freeze. Also, it's really important to people who've had their data taken is to get a credit report. All of us can get a credit report free each year from the three major credit reporting agencies. So that means three times a year or three different reports a year. And we suggest spacing them out. But you need to be careful. There's a lot of advertisements on TV, for example, that talk about freecreditreport.com. The only official one that's free is annualcreditreport.com. The other ones, to my knowledge, all have a catch, that they're right, trying to rope you into paying something for some service. So use the annualcreditreport.com one.
Yeah, and they do have, well, if you call, they have had, and I have to call again, a line just for anyone who had that military document, and you can put a freeze on immediately, which was real helpful because I had to do that for myself and my husband. But they can also get into your medical records. So I had to go into the local where I get treated here in two different places. Plus, they could get and use it to go into military posts. So I had to go there. So it's not just the banks and other things. It was on beyond that.
You're right. It's not always financial, and many people forget about that. And one particularly serious issue is medical identity theft, where people, if they get your Social Security card or they get your health insurance card, they may go to the emergency room or they may go to a medical provider and get treatment under your name. And that's bad enough because you're likely to get the bill for it. But also, you know, things will be put in your chart as if they were you. So, for example, if you're type O and they're AB positive and you need surgery, the last entry in the chart may be the AB positive. And that obviously, if given to you, could have extremely serious consequences.
It's a real problem. Thanks very much, Mary. We appreciate your comments. We just have a couple of minutes before we're going to have to close off. One thing I did want to go back to was the door-to-door magazine sales companies back in the state. You're seeing activity in northwest Wisconsin already. Is there a trail that these crews usually follow? Or
I don't know if there's any particular pattern. They seem to show up in a lot of places in the state, particularly in the summer, because they do hire students and other young people. But one needs to be very careful about dealing with traveling sales crews. One, many of them are not legitimate in terms of the magazines they're selling. Some may use your information for identity theft. And if you're a potential worker or the parent of a potential worker, be sure you check them out. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago where we had one of these crews crash a van, killing a number of young people who were part of the traveling sales crew.
And how would a consumer know if, or what advice do you have for the consumers when the sales staff shows up? Do you say, don't buy?
The first thing I would ask them is, where's your permit from the whatever municipality you might be in. Many municipalities require a permit for door-to-door sales. So the first thing I would do is ask to see their permit, and if they don't have one, I would just close the door. I would also not let them ever into my home, because there are circumstances where they have used going into the home as a method of checking it out and then come back and burglarized your home. And the other thing is, you know, if you have any suspicions at all, call the police or whatever law enforcement jurisdiction you're under, because these crews can, not all of them, but many of them can create havoc in just a short period of time and then disappear into another part of the state. So it's important to report them promptly. And they all have, many of them have lines. I'm a student, I'm trying to earn money, and if I sell this many magazines, I win a scholarship, et cetera, et cetera. You know, some of those simply aren't true, because I've answered the door to those myself. But so you just really need to be cautious. And by and large, I guess I just wouldn't subscribe through a door-to-door salesperson for magazines.
Janet, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Time has flown. Janet heads up the Office of Privacy Protection and administrates the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You can get more information at privacy.wi.gov or 800-224-5163. If people have questions about privacy issues?
That's correct.
All right. Janet Jenkins, thank you much. And tomorrow, Garden Talk with Sharon Morrissey between 11 and noon. She's the Milwaukee County Home Horticulture Educator. And then afternoon, Barbara Ellis, co-author of Burpees, The Complete Flower Gardener, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.